Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
How many of you know that if there's a problem, we want to fix relationships, but if we do it like God says to do it, how many of you know that we can have extraordinary relationships and they ought to be the model and the example for those that are around us, right? And so today we're going to talk a little more directly concerning relationships and talk maybe a little more specific in context to husbands and wives as to marriage. But now some of the things that I'm going to share with you today is things that everyone can walk away with and say, you know what, those are some things that I can apply to my life. So maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, I'm widowed or I'm divorced and I want to find a significant other. I'd like to find somebody for my life. Well, listen, this will help you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what, I'm single and I'm happy to be single. Don't plan on getting anybody in my life anytime soon. Listen, this will still help you. Amen. I love being married. I love having a family. But, you know, with life being so busy, I've thought to myself, you know, if my wife, God forbid, was to go home, I don't think that I would ever get remarried. You know, it's just like, well, once you have the best, I mean, it's like, well, what else do you, you know, you go to? But it's just like, life is so busy. It's like, who's got the time to date and go through all that stuff again? You know what I mean? It's just like, wow. I mean, I trained her well the first time around. I don't want to do it again. Oh, did you see how I did that? You know, I did well on the first side and then I dug a hole for myself on the back end. Anyways, she knows me too well. But anyways, this will help everybody. Can you say amen? I said, this will help everybody in life. And all of us can relate to having the desire to have somebody significant in our life. And so, like I said, we want to dig into some of this today in regard to having extraordinary relationships. And just by definition, the word relationship can be defined this way. The state of being connected. The state of being connected. And so obviously when you think of being connected, there's all kinds of relationships that God has designed, right? In fact, God said this, it's not good that man should be alone. Now obviously he was talking about it in the context of a husband and wife, but just in general, he said it's not good to be alone, right? He said be fruitful and multiply. So in other words, grow and expand the human race on the earth. Why? Because we need relationships. And it's the state, the state of being connected. In regards to relationship, there is a power in relationships. And the power of relationships is this. It's unity. It's being unified, being connected. And the scripture is full of all kinds of things in regards to the power of relationships. Notice what it says here. The Bible says, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? Right? How can two, not just one, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? So in other words, if we're heading the same direction, we must have the same objective, right? If we're going different ways, we're not going to end up at the same spot. So two, the agreement of two gets us in the same place or the same destination. It says this, if two agree touching anything, they have what they ask. It's talking about the power of unity, the power of agreement, the power of prayer or praying together, standing in faith. It says, if two agree touching anything on earth, they have what they ask. The Bible refers to this or it shares the story that concerning the Tower of Babel. Remember that? The Bible says concerning the Tower of Babel, it says that they had one heart, one mind, one voice. And God himself said, it's in record, that nothing that they set their mind to do could not be accomplished. So listen, when people come into agreement or become unified, there is a power in relationships. God intended for our relationships to be extraordinary, especially the life of a believer. Extraordinary. Ordinary. How many of you know that there are a lot of people out there that have relationships that seemingly look good, but they're just ordinary? The context of a child of God, a man and woman that knows Jesus, their relationships ought to be extraordinary, right? Why? Because we're doing it God's way. And we got God in the middle of those relationships. As I said, the scripture talks about relationships and the power of relationships throughout the Bible. And in the context of a husband and wife, or the relationship between a husband and wife, there is no other relationship as powerful outside of our relationship with God. Because of this, the Bible says that our relationship with Jesus is actually the model of marriage, right? And he says, now in regards to that, your relationship as a man or a woman, a husband and wife, it's modeled just after your relationship with God. Amen. So that means that God designed it for success. He designed it for us to be an example for those around us. Amen. The Bible also says this in regards to a husband and wife. He says, the two shall become one flesh. We hear that statement, the two shall become one flesh, but that statement is extremely powerful. Because when he says the two shall become one flesh, that means that you should not be able to separate one from the other. In other words, if you've seen me, you've seen my wife. If you've seen my wife, you've seen me, right? When it comes to Jesus, did you know that when you stand before God, God does not just merely see you. The Bible says you've been unified and joined together, joint heirs with Christ. So therefore, when you stand before God, who do you think God sees? He sees Jesus in you. That's why you can stand before God, being righteous, because of your union with Him. Amen? And so once again, there's a power of agreement. There's a power of unity. And again, the Bible says that the two shall become one. Right? Now, once again, when you think about just the husband and wife, I've said it before, and again, sometimes people look at you cross grain. You know, I've heard of, relationships or friendships getting a little wonky at different times. And I remember one particular situation, the husbands and wives went out of town together and the wives got into an argument and the one wife punched the other wife. And, again, it was a thing. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what happened? Well, again, there was this ordeal. But I'm thinking to myself, I don't care if you're a woman or not. I mean, you go beating up on my wife, I'm going to go beating up on you. You know what I mean? You might say, you would hit a woman? I'd take a woman out if that woman's hurting my wife. You say you would? Yes, because her and I are one. I don't care who you are, right? If you're messing with my wife, she's mine. We are one, right? Does that make sense? Boy, that just not said well with some of you. Well, it's all right. Just don't mess with her and you'll never have to deal with me, all right? I remember this was years ago, okay? So we had bought our first church building, and there was this guy that we basically inherited him. He was a part of the old church of the building that we bought, or the church that we bought the building from. So he stayed on with us, and there was a house across the street, and so we had fixed it up, and he asked if he could rent the house, and we said, sure. Well, he had never started paying rent yet, and he was there for a couple months, and we were just working with him, just loving on him. We were young at the time. And so he was there in the house. Well, one day he came over to the church. And he was bipolar, so again, sometimes his emotions were up and down, you know. And so he came over to the church one day, and I was working, and he said, I need you to do some stuff on the house. I said, you know what? I said, you keep complaining about the house. I said, you know, you haven't paid rent. I said, we just did the best that we could do to help you out because you were homeless. I said, so we just did it because we cared about you. And I said, but you know what? It'd probably be best that you find somewhere else to live. I said, that way we wouldn't have to have this exchange all the time. Well, then he just kind of started ramping up. Well, he was standing outside of the door of the entrance, And so as he started to come, he went back out, and I made the determination, I'm like, he's not coming back into the building. So I stepped in front of the door, and he started to come in. Well, I put my hand up to stop him, and I put it on his chest. Well, as soon as my hand hit his chest, man, he started swinging. And so I grabbed a hold of him, and I got him up against the wall, and then I had him over here. Well, my wife was standing there watching the whole thing. This is the point that I'm getting to. She had a tool in her hand. I can't remember if it was like a drywall, you know, it's like a 4-foot thing made out of aluminum that you score drywall with. So she had that in her hand, or maybe it was a broom. Was it a broom? Was it a broom? Yeah, it was a broom. There you go. And so I've got a hold of this guy. Well, she's standing right there. Well, you know what she started to do? She started beating that dude with that broom. Well, why did she do that? She did that because I was her husband. And somebody was messing with her husband. And you might say, she did that? Listen, she became a whole nother person. You don't want to see that, Kelly, in your lifetime, all right? I just want you to know. So once again, the two become one flesh. Does that make sense? We're together. We're unified. Amen? The two shall become one flesh. And in regards to that, it's not just a fleshly relationship. It's not just natural. It's a spiritual union and a covenant that God makes with man and woman, and man and woman make with God, and they make with each other. They become one, or there is a oneness, and there is a unity between the two. In regards to oneness, in regards to the relationship or a marriage, oneness comes with vision. I've been talking a lot about that lately, but in regards to vision, what is vision? Vision is what could be and should be in the context of God's design. So oneness or unity in a relationship brings about vision of what could be and should be in the design of God. What does that do? That causes you to walk together in agreement, right? So in other words, she knows the design and the vision and the plan and the purpose. I know the vision, the plan, and the purpose, and we're walking together, synced up, arm in arm, right? Now, does that mean that you don't have differences of opinions at times? No, sometimes you do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not in unity or in oneness. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But once again, vision creates singularity of sight. Seeing the same thing. Desiring the same thing. Believing for the same things. And oftentimes when it comes to a marriage, a husband and wife, they are not on the same page. Now, let's just back up for a moment. How many of you have realized that being on the same page shouldn't start once you've been married a couple years? Being on the same page should begin during the dating process, right? You can read a book by its cover, but there is some content in between the covers, right? And you can begin to find out whether or not they're on the same page, right? But oftentimes, husbands and wives are not on the same page. And sometimes, because things just get a little bit lackadaisical in our relationships, sometimes we end up going or having different directions. But think about it for that matter. People have differences of ideals when it comes to parenting, right? We think differently about parenting. Maybe when it comes to discipline, we think differently. You know, I was raised, you know what? Listen, you step out of line, you're going to get the belt. You know what I mean? In today's culture, you tell people, you know, you give your kids the belt. They're like, call 911, call child services, right? It's a whole different mentality. Well, you might have two differences of opinions or ideals in regards to the relationship. You want to head the same direction. When it comes to education, people have differences of opinion concerning education or money. How many of you know that money can cause a lot of difficulties within a marriage? Oftentimes people say this, money is the number one problem in marriage. It's not. It's the communication which brings about unification that would solve a lot of problems. But once again, all kinds of individuals have differences of opinions or ideas concerning money. Can I just tell you a quick story? I remember there was a couple, this was an older couple, and this was probably 15 years ago. I was a lot younger then. It's always interesting when you're younger and you're trying to counsel older individuals because, you know, you're just wet behind the ears. How many of you know that just common sense is not too common? But it stands the test of time, right? So I have this older man and woman. They're probably in their 60s at the time. And in regards to their relationship, she is spending all kinds of money, and they're tens of thousands of dollars in debt concerning credit cards. And back then, you know, CVC or that shopping network thing, it was real popular, or it started back then. And so she would go shopping all night long and have all these little trinkets all over the place. And he says, I can't get her to stop buying stuff. And he says, and we're tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And I said, well, aren't you accountable to one another? Well, I try to get her to be. And I said, well, I tell you what, go to the extreme then. I said, make an agreement that you can't spend X amount of dollars without the other's permission. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? Come in unity. You know, set up the checkbook that you got to have two signatures. So that way you're accountable to one another. You know, when it comes to the credit card, put both names on there or something to the effect that it creates an accountability. He said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, why can't you do that? She won't let me. Problem solved right there, right? And it didn't last. They ended up getting divorced. He got stuck with all the debt. So once again, money is a huge issue that you can be on different pages. Can somebody say amen or oh me? Amen. How many of you know you can have differences, or there can be differences concerning faith, right? So once again, man or a husband and wife can be on different pages, but God wants us to be unified. Differences or differing opinions is one thing, but now listen to this. Differing opinions are one thing, but differing values is another. How many of you know that when it comes to having opinions, differing opinions are common? My wife and I, we don't always have the same opinion on things, right? I mean, she puts a high priority on purses. I don't. You can have differences of opinions, but when you have differences of values, that is a huge red flag in a relationship, right? And isn't it interesting that when it comes to our friendships, relationships, we'll allow our values to determine the friendships that we have. For instance, I've got some friends that I went to high school with. One in particular guy, he was my best friend in high school. And we stayed close throughout the years. But as time went on, the closeness of our relationship has grown more distant. And the reason why our relationship is more distant is because our values are different, right? The things that he does, the way he lives his life, the places that he goes, the way that he interacts with his wife, or the kind of lifestyle that they have. They're not Christian people, so therefore their values are extremely different. So as a result, the values that are different from one another begins to set the parameters of the friendship, and I don't spend a whole lot of time with him. You do the exact same thing. The value systems begin to determine what kind of relationships that you have. But isn't it interesting that values can determine or set the course of our friendships, but when it comes to our relationships with another man or a woman, we're very easy or very willing to set our values to the side, thinking that the values will change, right? You know, for us guys, you know, she's sure pretty. Right? You know, we think, woo, she's good looking, you know, but I think she's pretty and she might change, you know. No, listen, if the values are not the same, if you're not on the same page, the Bible says, unless two walk together in agreement, they're not walking in agreement or walking together. They're just on a good walk, right? It's important for us to understand the power of our values and the power of unity and the way that God designed relationships to be. Many are willing to make covenants with people that have different values rather than saying, God, I'm willing to set a high standard for myself. Notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 1. Again, we won't turn there. But Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says this, that God created man in his image and his likeness, right? Then he says, this is the byproduct or what it looks like to be created in my image. He says, he blessed them. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion or authority over all the earth. And he says, and then subdue it or conquer. Have success. So he says, you're created in my image. And he says, as a byproduct of you being created in my image and my likeness, your life has value and I've created you for greatness. I've created you to change the landscape of your world. Again, every one of us has a realm of influence. And God says, I've created you in such a way that I want you to change your world. And therefore, when you begin to assemble together and come in unity with another individual, you have a greater impact to change your world, right? But think about this. He says, you were created for greatness, but oftentimes in our lives, we find ourselves getting in slumps. Slumps in relationships, slumps in our own life. And if I was to ask you to raise your hand, if I was to say, how many of you struggle or live with depression? Many would raise their hands. Listen. If you'll discover vision in your life, vision is the cure for depression. What does that mean? The wouldas and the couldas, the way that God designs you, that you have purpose, you have a reason for living, you have an obligation to change your world. If you woke up every morning to say, today is the day that I change this world, and it's going to be an amazing day, you would not have time to be depressed. But the reason we live a life full of depression is because we wake up and we start thinking about what was and what should have been and could have been, and not living life to the full of what God designed you to be. And then you have somebody else that says, well, let's live in the past of what could have been and should have been. And woe is me. Isn't life just so bad? And now you got two people that are in depression. And now you got the power of agreement. Now you got just the spirit of depression ruling and reigning your household. Come on, if you want the depression to be cured in your home, get a life of vision and saying, God, what have you called me to do? What does it look like today to change my world? Maybe it's just a matter of loving that spouse that you're married to. I'm going to change that man. I'm going to change that woman. Meaning, I'm going to love on them so much they're going to become a new man or woman. I've got a purpose today. When it comes to my kids, I've got purpose today. I'm going to change and rock their world because I'm going to love them with the love of God. Make it your mission. Does that make sense? Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Depression can be cured with the power of vision. Once again, the Bible says this, it's not good for man to be alone. So therefore, vision is empowered with the power of two. Because many lose vision. Now again, I'm talking about in the context of a marriage now. Because many lose vision or the sight of purpose, they end up living life as roommates. Does that make sense? We go through the motion. And that's where you start to talk to somebody. How you doing today? Well, you know. How's your husband? Well, you know, they're still the lazy bum that they always been. Hey, how's your wife? She's still nagging. Right? Why would anybody make those statements about the person that they're in covenant with? It's because they've lost sense of purpose. They've lost vision, and they've merely become roommates living together. They still love each other, but they've lost the sense of purpose. Amen. Now, when it comes, now again, I'm talking about a husband and wife. When I look at my kids, man, there are times where I'm like, God, man, I feel like I've just missed the mark so much. But when I look at my kids, it's like my kids have no choice in the matter. They are going to be a success. They are going to fulfill the plan of God for their life. They don't have any other choice but to be what God designed them to be. Why? Because that's my mission and my purpose. Like, God, that's the vision that I have. You've given me them as a gift to steward them. And so, God, I'm going to pour into them, and they'll know you. They may not know 2 + 2, but they'll know Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Now, they know what 2 + 2, but you, I mean, education is great. But the greatest education that I want them to know is that they know Jesus, right? I'll give you a little insight. They have school. They do like a private Christian school. Well, so they got math, they got English and history and all that other stuff. But they also have Bible. And they are responsible to memorize scripture every week. But as a dad, I said, I'm up in the ante. Now, again, you might criticize me for doing this. Again, it's my kids, my choice. Didn't ask your opinion, all right? But for me, my kids, I'm like, here's your scriptures. It changes every week. I want you to write them out 2 times every day. I want you to write them. And then at the end of the week, I want you to recite it to me. Now, their school is not asking them to write those scriptures. And you might say, well, why would you have them do that? Because what they're doing is they're giving it to memory and getting it in their heart. Right? Why? Because I'm glad that they're learning history. I'm glad that they're learning math. But I would rather them walk away knowing that God loves them, that God has a plan and a purpose for them, and that they know the voice of God when it gets all done and said with. Amen? Why? Because I've got a purpose as a dad. All right. In regards to life, I said this. In regards to our relationships, we've got to maintain vision or we'll just live as roommates. Here's one of the things that you'll begin. The Bible says that unless two walk together or lest, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? So what that means, once again, is unification, unity, oneness. But how many of you know that oftentimes our houses, our homes are divided? Or there is division in our homes. You say, well, how do I know there's division in my home? What did we say vision was? Vision is what could be and should be. What does division mean? Die means two. Two visions. If a husband and wife have differing visions or differing values, the house is divided, right? And the Bible says this, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It might look like it's standing, but eventually it'll come tumbling down, right? So God wants us to be unified. So he says this. He says, I've created you in my image and my likeness. How amazing it is that a husband and wife can represent Jesus in the home. And what they're doing is they're reproducing little examples of Jesus to go into the world. To be created in his image. So what is this image that we're created in? I want to bring to your attention here in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says this. Dear friend, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Now notice these words. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Notice verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought into full expression in us. He said, you're created in my image and my likeness to look like me and act like me. And that scripture said that who God is, not just that he does love, it says that he is love. So if you're created in his image and his likeness, what should we be modeling as a husband and wife or people just in general? Love. So the Bible says this, that if we'll model and be love within our relationships and within our marriage and within our family, it says that this becomes the full expression of God. Now, people always say, man, there needs to be a move of God. We're believing for a move of God. We want to see God move in our church. Listen, if every person in the church would just purpose to love one another and up their love walk, there would be a full expression of God in the church. Now you might say, well, I love people. Oh yeah? Okay. That's good. Well, how many times do you miss church? Oh, why are you getting on my church attendance for? Well, if you love God and you love people, you would just be where those people are, right? Let's not talk about giving. We'll just leave that one alone. But you understand, there's an expression of love, right? And so if we, the people of God, really genuinely began to love, it would have a full expression of love within our church. What would it look like in our homes if we allowed ourselves to actually love like God loves? Not conditionally, but love like God does. What would our marriages look like? And for that matter, how willing are we to sacrifice or to settle for less than? Amen. For my daughters, I pity the fool that comes into my house not loving God and not loving my daughters. Right? Because they deserve the best. They deserve the best men to honor them and love them for the life that they're about ready to experience together. Right? All right. He says that it manifests the full experience or expression rather of who God is. So again, if we look at what love is, there are some attributes to love. You know it well over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says this, that love is patient and it's kind. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful, proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. That hit anybody yet? Let me ask that again. Did that hit anybody yet? Love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. So let's just pause with just those right there. If we would do those and allow love to have its perfect work, it would set us up for the next one. It says this. It keeps no record of being wrong. Did you catch that? If I'm patient, kind, if I'm not rude, if I don't demand my own way, what does it say? It says that I can have a relationship with my spouse, with my significant other, and not keep records of wrongs that have been done to me. If I can do that, notice what happens next. It says, love never gives up. Well, man, I'm just about ready to kick you to the curb. Well, listen, why are you getting ready to kick them to the curb? Because you just don't know how they've been doing. Listen, if you're not keeping record of the wrongdoing because you're patient and you're kind and you're not being rude or you understand what I'm saying? You can't fail. Then he goes on to say this. Says, you never lose faith. You're always hopeful. You endure through all circumstances. Why? Because I chose not to demand my own way. I chose to have patience. I chose not to be jealous. I chose not to be rude. I chose not to demand my own way. And as a result, one just builds upon another. And therefore, once again, there creates a unity within a relationship between a husband and a wife. And you deserve it. I said, you deserve it. Now, before you start going home and having a conversation to your spouse and say, I deserve better. It very well could be that the reason they're the way that they are is because you created that. Just saying. So you could just walk in love. Amen? All right, the last thing I'll say is this. We said that it will allow love to have its perfect expression of who God is, of what love is, to have a unity within the context of an extraordinary relationship. The Bible says this, that God so loved the world. Who is God? God is love. He doesn't keep record. He doesn't hold things against you. He believes the best, hopes the best. His faith never wavers on you. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Jesus is the expression of God's love. But now the Bible says this in John chapter 1, that Jesus is the Word. And the Word was made flesh. So you can't separate the Word from Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. Nor can you separate God's love from Jesus or his Word. Why don't you stand with me as I close? Why did I say that? Because when you have a union, a covenant with a man or a woman, love at the center of the relationship, so will be the Word. Here's what I mean by that. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and as we're talking, and this is oftentimes our conversation, we're talking about things, and all of a sudden, she'll say, you know, I was reading and God said this in the Word, and it just began to stir me up, and I'm believing God for, and or I might be saying, you know, I was praying and God said this. And what it does is the Word of God becomes the foundation of our home, which establishes an environment for love to grow. Never was the Word ever in our home used as a weapon. Well, you know what the Bible says, you know, beat you over the head with the Bible. Better straighten up or God's going to get you. No, it was always in the context of the unity of the marriage. God's Word says. And because the two become one, there's nothing that we've ever went through together that we didn't do it together. And because we know how much God loves us and God's love is the foundation of our home, the Word becomes the foundation of our home. Does that make sense? Are you seeing the parallel? You see, when love is ruling in your relationships, God's Word becomes the focal point. It becomes the foundation of God's love. And that's how you know it will work. Because it's not your opinion anymore. It's what God said. And if God said it, that settles it. And it allows love to have its perfect work. And it allows love to have its full expression. Amen? If you'll fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with his Word, your spouse will fall in love with you. You know why? Because the more that the Word becomes a part of who you are, the more they'll see Jesus in you. They'll not see the imperfections. They'll not see the wrongs. They'll only see him. Amen. Will you bow your head and pray with me? Father, I thank you that you are building extraordinary relationships within this church. We thank you, Father, that our marriages and our relationships are being built upon the foundation of your word, foundation of who you are. And because we build our house upon the rock, our house will not fall, even when the storms blow and beat against our home, because the word is the foundation of your love. So I thank you, Father, that our love walk with one another is growing. And we're seeing the fulfillment of your love in our relationships. And therefore, vision begins to grow. And we begin to see what you've called us to do. And that's to change the landscape of our world. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today, and we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church. Loving God, loving people, and loving life.